Alright, I will say good morning, a good yar. Hope that everyone is well. Baruch Hashem, a lot to do today. A great zechus to be able to begin the new year. Emeretz Hashem with the entire chevra. Let's begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Sure to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei. Habalim Latova, to thank Jerry and Sarah Walaski for dedicating all the Sherman Drashos this month in the Schuss of Fushlima for their grandson, Zecharia Dov, Ben Parol Shira. To thank Shandy and Avram Kelman for dedicating all the Sherman Drashos this month in memory of their beloved parents and the Schuss of all those who need a Refuah Shalima. To thank Dr. Linda Weinberg for dedicating all the Sherman Drashos this month in memory of her husband, Dr. Paul Weinberg, Peres Moshe Ben Avram. To thank Selma Wolf for dedicating all the Sherman Drashos this month with immense gratitude to Hashem, with tefillos for health for all in the new year, and lay a soul as a schus for Refuah Shleima for her daughter Ilana Bas Esther, and for all of those who need Yeshuas and Refuas. To thank our Day of Learning sponsor, Esther Mizrahi, Le'ilui Nishmas, Lauren Levana Bas Vivian, Ezra Mizrahi's niece. May Hashem inspire the researchers in finding a cure for the eradication of bone cancer soon. Well, okay. Meretz Hashem, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas will have an aliyah, and all those who need a refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. So with that, let us begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem, and not a lot of time to do it. So we'll say, so we are picking up. Today's daf is Lamed Vav 36. We left off yesterday at Isi Tani. So we'll say, which was in the wide lines. Well, actually, it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, in yesterday's daf, we learned everything one could ever want to know about female facial hair, right? And we went through the entire sugya Baruch Hashem. And again, I think now many of us could get smicha just even in that particular area of halacha. So continuing along in that same topic, but in the variation of that topic. So the Gemara says as follows: Isi Tani. Isi says as follows: Af ba yikrchu nashim pturos. Women are also exempt from the prohibition of bal yikrchu. Now, bal yikrchu ultimately is the idea that one is not permitted to pull out their hair as a display of mourning for the dead. So EC posits that women are exempt from that. Now, what's the logic over here? My time at the EC, the Dara Shachi, he dashed in the following. The Pasuk says, you are sons to Hashem, your God. In this case over here means don't cut yourself. Don't cut yourself as a display of mourning for the dead. And do not go ahead and pull out your hair and make a bald spot over mourning for the dead. Why? You are a holy nation unto Hashem your God. So Isi Darshan's Banim below Banos the Karcha. So actually it's a pretty straightforward drasha. The way the Torah introduces the prohibition to pull out your hair is Banim Atemash, you are sons. Isi says, what does that tell you? The prohibition only applies to men, doesn't apply to women. Atom the Karcha o Ena Ligdida. So you're saying it comes to exclude women from the prohibition of creating a bald spot. Maybe it comes to exclude women from the prohibition of lacerating themselves. Kishu Omer, ki am kadosh atar la'ashem elokecha, hare gedida amar. Now, let's remember again, the way the pasuk ends off is, you are a holy nation. Holy nation includes who? Includes who? Includes women. Which indicates that women are included in the prohibition of laceration, but not included in the prohibition of pulling out hair, of creating a bald spot. I will say, I just want to point out, the prohibition over here is dafka pulling out hair as a display of mourning for the dead. It's not just pulling out hair stam, it's pulling out hair again as mourning. So the Gemara says, how many mekayim banim below banos? The karcha, ultimately again there from the pasuk says, banim is coming to say that only men are included in the prohibition of kriya, pulling out their hair, creating a bald spot, not women. So I will say, this is the drasha of Isi ben Yehuda, that halacha lemaisa, that the prohibition of pulling out one's hair as a display of mourning for the dead only applies to men, doesn't apply to women. Where does he get that from? Banim atem lashem lekechem, you are sons. Only sons, not daughters. The second part of the pasuk, which talks about gedida, do not lacerate yourself, do not cut yourself, he holds applies to everyone. Why? Because the end of the pasuk says, ki am kadosh, you are a holy nation. Holy nation includes who? men and women. Okay. Umaroi, the rabbi says, Hagidilaholti esakarcha. So it's interesting. So in the same pasuk, here's what's fascinating about this Rasha. It's one pasuk, right? So it's one pasuk that talks about pulling out hair and laceration. And yet what EC does is, he says, one applies to women, one doesn't. One doesn't. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why would you assume ultimately again that laceration does apply and pulling out hair doesn't? Marabani Yasi Gedida, I would include Gedida Shiyeshna b'makom Sear, b'shlova makom Sear, because we both say laceration applies both on parts of the body where there is hair and there isn't hair. In other words, the prohibition to lacerate over the dead applies on any part of the body. Umotziani Yasa Karcha She'ena Ela b'makom Sear. And I'll exclude ultimately again the karcha prohibition because it applies only on places of the body where there's hair. Ve'ema, banim suvos. So the idea over here is I'm going to include women in the more what we'll call the more expansive prohibition, which is laceration, because that applies to any part of the body. But I'll exclude a woman from the more limited prohibition, which is creating a bald spot, because obviously creating a bald spot only applies to a part of the body where there's hair. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ema banim v'lo banos ben lekarcha ben legedida." So I don't understand. Easy, let's make a simpler drasha. Say that the whole pasuk is coming to exclude women from everything. In other words, the pasuk is introduced, banim atam la'Hashem Elokeichem. You are sons. So why not say that women are exempt from everything in that pasuk? They're exempt from creating a bald spot, and they're exempt from laceration, exempt them from everything. V'chikhasav ki am kadosh atam la'Hashem Elokeichem. And when the pasuk says that you are a holy nation unto Hashem your God, why not say Bisrita hu dichsiv? Maybe he's talking about Srita. Now, obviously, here's what's interesting. The Gemara is introducing us to the possibility that there's two things. There's something called Gedida and something called Srita. Now, both of them mean cutting yourself. One of them refers to cutting yourself by hand. Like, I guess, like just like taking your nail and just like cutting yourself, scratching yourself, cutting yourself. The other applies to laceration with a utensil, with a kli. So the Gemara says, maybe the pasuk is coming to teach me that women are exempt both from gedida and karcha. V'chi kasav kiyam kadosh atal Hashem alkecha b'sritu u'dechziv. Kasav isi sritu u'gedida achos hitap of lamed vav 36a. Isi happens, other will say that srita and gedida are halachically the same thing. In other words, that the prohibition to cut yourself over the dead ultimately, again, applies whether you're cutting yourself by hand or whether you're cutting yourself with a kli. Okay, so let's pause here for just a moment. This is the position of Isi. We're gonna dissect it a little bit. And again, just to understand, so kind of that this is the springboard for this conversation was a discussion about women being exempted from other prohibitions. For example, rounding out the head, removal of payas, destruction of the beard. So now Isi says, by the way, women are also exempt on the prohibition of pulling out one's hair as a mourning behavior. So banim atam Hashem Elokeichem, you are sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't pull out your hair over the dead. So Isi says that dafka applies to men, not doesn't apply to women. However, the second prohibition of the pasuk, i.e. laceration over the dead, whether you do that by hand or you do that with a utensil, that will apply to women. So let's analyze. So Abaye says, 36a, first line, Abaye Amr, Hainu tam di Isi, what's Isi's logic? The gamar karcha karcha mibnei Aaron. He has a gzira shava of karcha karcha. So the pasuk says, there's a specific pasuk by Kohanim that says, lo yikrichu karcha berosham. Kohanim are not permitted to pull out their hair as a display of mourning. There's a specific prohibition by Kohanim. So Abai says like this. It says karcha by Kohanim, and it says karcha over here in this pasuk. Just like by mitzvos of the kahuna, women are exempt. Right? In other words, where do we see this? The Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? A woman is not prohibited from coming in contact with a corpse. In other words, a kohenes, a bas kohen, is allowed to come in contact with a corpse. What do you see from that? That a woman is generally exempted from the mitzvos of kahuna. She has certain entitlements, right? If she's a bas kohen, she can eat truma, but she's exempted from the prohibitions. So the Gemara says like this. So just like she's exempted ultimately again. So ma lahalon nash pirush, just like by mitzvos of kahuna, women are exempt. Afkan, so too in this pasuk of banim atem la Hashem Elokeichem, women will also be exempt. And if you think that the pasuk is actually referring to, in other words, if you think the exemption refers to the entire pasuk, so the Gemara says, "Nishtok kramine," let the pasuk remain silent. And everything could simply be learned out with the kavach omer. And I would have said, "Uma kohanim sheriba bahena kasov mitzos yiseros." And when it comes to kohanim, who have more mitzvos than a typical Jew, we normally say bnei Aaron v'lo benos Aaron. The halachas of kohuna normally only apply to men and not to women. So therefore, again, Yisrael kol shekin, I would have said all the more so for just a regular Jew. Ilav, to which the Gemara answers, ilav gzeir shava, without the gzeir shava, hava amina, I would have thought, hefsik ha'inyon. That as we said before, that the pasuk really means to distinguish mid-pasuk between ultimately, again, karcha, and Gedido. So the Gemara says, Hashtanami Neima Hivsika Inyan. So let's say over here now that ultimately the Pasuk means to divide the two topics. Vimushum Gezer Shava, and if you're going to say the Gezer Shava, me Bali Lichidisanyo, you need that for the following reason. Pasuk says, Lo Yikrchu, do not create a bald spot. Yachol Afilu Karach Arba Bachamish Krachos, Lo Ye Chayev Ela Achos. One might have thought it was, what happens if a person makes four or five bald spots? In other words, they're mourning over the dead, Rahman al-Islam, and they pull out four or five different places of hair. I would have thought that you're only chayiv once. So the Gemara says, Tamu lomar, karcha. Therefore, the pasuk says, karcha, lechayiv al kol achas ve'achas berosham. To teach you that there is independent liability for each and every bald spot that is caused. I ma tamu lomar. So what's the chiddush there? The fish shenemar lo tiskodedu, v'lo sasimu karcha bein einechem lemeis. The pasuk says, do not lacerate yourself, and do not go ahead and make a bald spot between your eyes for the dead. Yachalo yechayev ela abin ha'inayim. You might have to say, now, the way the pasuk phrases it is, don't make a bald spot between your eyes. So one might have thought that you're only chayev for pulling out hair in the area between your eyes. Minayim l'rabos kol arosh. How do you know that you're chayev for making a bald spot over the entire head? Tamalomar barosham. The pasuk says on their head, l'chayev al Arosh kebein ha'inayim. Ultimately, again, I will say that Barosham is by the Kohanim. Zakah is by the Roshah, is by the Kohanim. So to teach you that ultimately, again, you're chayiv for making a bald spot anywhere on the head, as if you made it between the eyes. V'ainli ela Kohanim, Shiri baba nakasav mitzos yiseros. I only know that by Kohanim, they're chayiv for making a bald spot anywhere on the head, because in general, Kohanim have more mitzos. So the Gemara says, Yisraminol, and how do I know that by Stamaju, your chayiv ultimately again for making a bald spot anywhere on the head? Ne'mar kan karcha, ve'ne'mar lahalan karcha. It says over here karcha, so it says by Yisrael karcha, it says by Kuna karcha. Makan chayiv al kol karcha ve'karcha. The chayiv al arosh kabein ha'inayim. Just like ultimately again, in the first pasuk, one is chayiv for every bald spot, and chayiv anywhere on the head, as if he did it between the eyes. Af lahalon chayiv al kol karcha v'karcha, the chayiv al arosh kebein ha'inayim. Umar lahalon al meis, and I will say, just like over there, remember, as I mentioned this before, the prohibition to pull out hair is dafka as a display of mourning. Afkan al meis. So too over there, this is important because, for example, let's say a person would just, I don't know, in a moment of just anger or stress, they pull out some of their hair. So interestingly enough, certainly not a good habit, but la meis, not this prohibition. This prohibition is dafka when done as a display of mourning. So we'll say imkain ma nichtov. I'm sorry, afkan ames imkain nichtov kra karach my karcha. If that's the case, why not? Suppose it just say karach. Why does it say karcha? Shamus mina tarti. Ultimately, again, I will say to teach us the two lessons that were mentioned above. So just to condense this a little bit. So first of all, just picking up a number of interesting halachas along the way. The prohibition of karcha, number one, applies anywhere on the head, right? And number two, ultimately, again, applies when it is done, the prohibition applies, when the removal of the hair is done as a display of mourning. So let's just take a step back, just so we keep in mind what we're doing over here. Start with the position of Isi. What does Isi say? The prohibition of creating a bald spot, pulling out hair as mourning for the dead, only applies to men, doesn't apply to women. Abaye, all Abaye is doing over here is just trying to figure out where did Isi get that. Now, the truth is, Isi himself seemed to explain his drasha, right? He gave a little bit of explanation of his drasha already. Abai saying on a deeper level, where does he see it? And Abai understands it as a gzeirah shava of karcha, karcha to kohanim. It says karcha over here by the pasuk that Isi quoted. Barimata mashal kechem lo tiskodidu v'lo tasimu karcha b'nei nechem lameis. And it says karcha by b'nei Aaron lo yikruchu karcha b'roshan. And that's the whole drasha. So that's all Abai was doing, was trying to show ultimately again where Isi ben Yehuda derives his position from. Good. Next, Rava Amar. Rava says, no, Hainu time of the Isi. Isi learns it out from somewhere else, which is the Yalif ben Einechem Mitfilin. Very interesting, Rava. So listen to this. He makes a drasha ultimately again of ben Einechem from Tfilin. How so? So we'll say, so what's the drasha over there? So by Tfilin, it says, right, that you go and you put tefillin bein einechem, and again the lashon over here by the pasuk is lo sasimu karcha bein einechem. What's the gzeirah shava? Here we go. The Gemara says ma lahalon nashe pturos afkan nashe pturos. But it's fascinating how like all roads lead back to tefillin. So just like by tefillin, ultimately again women are exempt. By tefillin, women are exempt. So too by karcha, women are exempt as well. Okay, that's a pretty simple, straightforward drasha. Verava, my time alo amar kabayi. So I will say, so now, essentially, just to point out over here, now I will say, what I do want to point out is that halacha lemaisa, so we do not accept Isi's position lahalacha. In other words, the way we pass in halacha lemaisa is that women are subject to the prohibition of karacha. So if a woman were to pull out her hair as a display of mourning, that would be a biblical prohibition. So again, even though we don't accept the halacha lemaisa, it's still interesting. And Abai and Rav are arguing on the logic of Isi. So Abai's logic, where does Isi get his shita from? Gezeirah shava from kahuna. According to Rav, where does Isi get his shita from? Gezeirah shava to tefillin. The tefillin. Interesting. So the Gemara said, "V'Rava, my time alone are kabayi." So Rava, why don't you hold like kabayi? So Rava, who holds that it's learned out from tefillin, why don't you hold like kabayi that it's learned out from kahuna? To which the Gemara says, "Lomar kabayi karach karach olamashmalai." Because again, remember, Abayi's whole drasha is really predicated on the fact that the Torah decided to write the phrase karcha longhand. I don't know if longhand in the longer form, as opposed to the shorter form. So Abaye, so Rava just simply doesn't subscribe to that drasha. Abaye, my time alone, like Rava. And Abaye, why doesn't he hold like Rava? Amar lecha tefillin gufayhu mehacha gamarla. So let's listen to this. So Abaye will say, no, you can't use that drasha for tefillin because tefillin itself, there's an important halacha from tefillin that is learned out from here. We'll say, what's learned out from here from tefillin? So ma lahalon makam sha'osin karcha begovo shorosh. Afkan hanocha begova shorosh. So this is incredible. So remember again, what we learn out over here, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. This is actually an incredible Rashi. Tfilin gufay mehacha gamri kilomar hahi gzir shava de beninechem. The gzir shava beninechem can't be used to teach me that just like women are exempt from tfilin, so too they're exempt from karcha. Why? Because I need this gzir shava to teach me something totally different, which is the placement of tefillin. The placement of tefillin. It says ben einechem by tefillin, and it says karcha, it says ben einechem by karcha. Just like by karcha, again, I'm about to say, what does it mean? It's referring to over here, the hair on your head, so too over here, as opposed to, you know, literally again between your eyes. So too when tefillin says ben einechem, it means not placement between your eyes, but ultimately again, placement on the hairline, placement on a place where there's hair. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Ma lahalon makam shosin karcha begovo shorosh, afkan makam anacha begovo shorosh. Incredible. So Rava say again, that's why Abaye and Rava do not subscribe to one another shita. So Rava say, now watch this. This is a treat. Rava say, listen to this beautiful Gemara to get us started with Aseres in Etshuva. To really, again, well, not get us started, we're continuing Aseres in Etshuva, but ultimately, again, allow us to continue in this journey. So it says the Gemara as follows, Bein la'abaye bein l'rava. So both according to Abaye and Rava, Hai banin, banimata mai darshivin. I will say, now here's what's interesting. So again, remember, what are we doing over here? So remember again, right now, we're hyper-focused on the position of Isi, right? Isi says women are subject to the prohibition of pulling out, women are exempt from the prohibition of karcha, pulling out their hair, as a demonstration of mourning for the dead. Now, I will say, so Abaye and Rava are learning out, are understanding that Isi derives it from two different places. Abaye, gezira shava to kahuna, karcha from kohanim. Rava, gezira shava to tzilin. Gezira shava to tzilin. Now, what's interesting, I just do want to point out over here something very interesting, which is when we learn the position of Isi on Lamed Hamed Beis, Isi seems to learn out from where? Banim atam lashem lokechem. That's how Isi learns it. You are sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do not pull out your hair as a display of mourning. So Isi will say, it applies to sons, doesn't apply to daughters. Okay, neither Abaye nor Rava accept that as the actual premise for Isi. Now the Gemara says, Abaye Rava, what do you do in the Pasuk with Banim Atam Lashem Elokeichem? What do you do with that phrase, right? Because you're not using it for the drasha of Karcha. So what do you do with the phrase of Banim Atam Lashem Elokeichem? I will say, listen to this beautiful Gemara. Here we go. Hai Banim Mai Darshibe. What do they do with it? So the Gemara says, Hai Mi Barile. Hai Mi Barile. We'll say, here we go. L'chidisanyo. Banim Atam Lashem Elokeichem. Torah HaKadosh says, we are sons to the Ribono Shel Olam. I might have thought, Bizman sha'atem noagim minag banim, atem kriim banim, when you act like sons, you are sons to Hashem. However, ein atem noagim minag banim, if you do not conduct yourself in the way, we'll say, what's minag banim? What's the custom of sons? What does it mean to be minag banim? Obedience, right? What's the hallmark of the relationship of a son to a father? Again, in the abstract, in the ideal, it's obedience. Right, the son does, we've just finished the sugis of Kibbut Aveim, right? A son does what a father asks of him, what a father needs of him. So I might have thought, when are we sons to the Ribono Shel Olam? When we act like sons. Minag banim. If I act like a son, then I am a son. On the other hand, in atem noagim minag banim. If I don't act like a son, in atem kriim banim. Right? And if I don't act like a son, I'm not a son. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say in Rabbi Yehuda's view of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being called a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a privileged and an earned title. You're not automatically a son. You're only a son if you behave like a son. And what does it mean to behave like a son? Obedience to the Ribono Shel Olam. If I'm an obedient child, then I'm called a ben. If I'm not an obedient child, I'm not called a ben. This is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says no. Ben kach u ben kach atem kruim banim. Wow. Rabbi Meir says, not true. A yid is always a son to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether you're obedient or you're not obedient, I listen, I don't listen, right? I'm attentive, I'm not attentive. I fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, I don't fulfill it. Either way, I'm a son to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know this? We'll say, first wide line, the Gemara says, Shene'emar banim schalim hema. Because we'll say, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Yirmiyahu, where the Navi calls us foolish sons. So what do you see from here? Even when you're foolish, you're still a son. Right? Va'omer, banim lo amun bam. But right, or the Pasuk says over here, banim lo uman bam. In other words, sons, uman bam means like ne'emanos, a son who is not trustworthy. But yet, even when I'm not trustworthy, what am I called? Still called the son. Right? Va'omer, furthermore, zera mireyim banim mashchisim. Destructive sons. Even when I'm destructive, I'm still called the son. Va'omer, v'hayo b'makom asher lo yomar lahem lo ami atem, yomar lahem b'nei kelchai. Even in a situation, even in a time where I will say they are not my nation, I will still say they are the sons of the living God. So in other words, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu disavows us as a nation, we're still the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'omer, furthermore, so what do you see from here? Rabbi Meir says, even in situations where I'm not obedient, even in situations where I'm not fulfilling or following the Ratzon Hashem, I am still called a son. The Rebbe say, do you understand the enormity of this machlokas? If this wasn't, 6:10 on a fast day morning, the Rebbe say, we'd be falling out of our seats about the nature of this machlokas. This machlokas, Rabbi Dari Meir, Rebbe say, is what does it take to be a son, a ben of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rebbe say, If you ask a person, what do you want out of life? There's a simple answer. I want to be a child of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's all. Because everything else stems from that. I want to be a child. Because if I'm a child of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that means there's a closeness. If there's a closeness, everything else stems from that. So what does it take to be a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rabbi Huda will say, what Rabbi Huda will say? Obedience. It's very simple. Obedience. Be obedient to God and you will be a son. Rameer says, no. What does it take to be a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it take to be a child? It's a de facto state of the Jew. You don't have to do anything to be a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are a child. Say, isn't that the most incredible thing in the world? Isn't a statement like that the most heartwarming, incredible thing? I am a child. See, that statement in and of itself, what that tells me is that the Ribono Shel Olam has an unconditional love for me. Just like parents and children, sometimes parents and children have a great relationship. Sometimes, unfortunately, they're not talking to each other. But I'm still my parents' child. So sometimes, again, I could have a strained relationship with God. I could even be a little bit estranged from God. But I'm his child. I'm his child. That is a de facto state of my life. And my behavior does not impact that nature of that relationship, that bond, one bit. I would say it's the most fundamental, I think this machlokes is the most fundamental machlokes in the entire Shas. Is being a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu an earned state, or is it a de facto state? Rabbi Huda, you gotta earn it. Rabbi Meir, it's yours. It's de facto, it's yours. It's yours. So I would say, let's go through this. Such an incredible Gemara. So the Gemara says, Mai va'omer, Mai va'omer. So we'll say, why does Rabbi Meir need to quote all of these different psukim? Mai va'omer, v'chi tema sachal yehudu mikri b'ni. So we'll say, ki les bohe menusa lo mikri b'ni. From the first pasuk, we'll say, again, by seichel means foolishness. I'm going to thought maybe only when a person acts in a foolish way, right, that's when they're still called a child. But ultimately, again, if they totally lack credibility in their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe not. Lo mikri b'ni. Tashma va'omer b'ni lo uman bam. V'chi tema ki les bohe menusa hudu mikri b'anim. Ki palchu la'avodos kacham lo mikru. Okay, maybe when ultimately we lack credibility in the relationship with Hashem, we're still called a son. But if I worship avodah zarah, chas v'shalom, I'm no longer a son. Tashma va'omer zera mereim banim mashchisim. Now, even if the son is destructive, which means even if the son worships avodah zarah, he's still the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chitema. Bani mashchisim hudim mikri bani ma'alya. Bani mashchisim hudim mikri bani ma'alya lo mikru. Maybe you'll say when a Jew worships avodah zarah, he's called a destructive son, but he's not called a regular son. Tashma va'omer v'haya b'makom asher yamar lahem lo amiyatem yomar lahem b'nei kel chai. Even when I worship avodah zarah chas v'shalom, I'm still called a son. The Rebbe says, "Who do we paskin like? It's not even a shayla. I'm not even going to look it up. Not even going to see." The Rebbe says, "It's clear. We paskin like Rabbi Meir. A yid is a child of the Ribono Shel Olam as a de facto state of being. It's not earned, and because it's not earned, and because it's de facto, no matter what I do in life, I cannot go ahead and break that bond." We are forever children of the Ribono Shel Olam. Rabbosai, what a message to learn. Right now, what is our avodah? Now we finished Rosh Hashanah. We reestablished our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Now it's about tshuva. And sometimes again we think to ourselves, I am too far gone to be able to do tshuva. I've done too much, too many wrong turns. No, you haven't. Because no matter what you have, whatever I have or haven't done in life, I am a son. And nothing could ever change that relationship. And because that relationship is intact, that tells me that I have the ability to fix it, to rehabilitate it, to rebuild it. No matter how much of a state of disrepair that relationship with my father has descended into, a son is always a son, is forever a son. And the ability to come back home, the ability to reignite that relationship with my father, the ability to rebuild and repair is always there. Now, we'll say that is the chizik as we begin the journey of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Incredible, incredible. Mishnah. Right, I will say, so now we're continuing in the topic over here about mitzvos that women are exempt from. So the Mishnah says, Hasmichos. So we'll say, this Mishnah says, what happens if you have a woman who is a daughter of a Kohen? A Bas Kohen, a Kohenes. So smicha, we'll say smicha is the act of leaning on the animal, right? That's what we do. We do smicha before the animal is shechted. Tenufos is the waving of the carbon. Hagashos, bringing the carbon close to the mizbeach. Kmitza, that's by the Karam Mincha, the three fingerfuls. Haktaros, burning of sacrificial item on the altar. Malikos, that's by the bird, right? We'll say again, remember, bird doesn't have regular shechita. That's with the thumbnail, back of the neck, flicking off of the head. Kabalos, receiving of blood. Hazo, sprinkling of the blood. All of these things, noagim ba'anashim v'lo b'nashim. All of these things apply to men. In other words, male kohanim v'lo b'nashim, not women. So even if a woman is a bas kohen, she can't do any of these things. Chutz mimincha sota unezira shemeniva. So the exception is by the mincha of a sota and the mincha of a nezira, that's a female nazir, nezira, they do tenufa, they do the waving process together with the kohen of their mincha. Fine, let's analyze. Well, it's pretty straightforward, Gemara. Smichas, how do we know that a woman doesn't do smicha? Dechsev dabrel b'nei Yisrael. Pasuk says, speak to b'nei Yisrael, men. V'samach b'nei Yisrael somchin, v'samach b'nei Yisrael somchin, v'im b'nos Yisrael somchos. Good. Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'samach. So we'll say so again, in the context of smicha, it says b'nei Yisrael, which tells me, men do smicha, women don't do smicha. Good. Next, tenufos waving. So darav b'nei Yisrael v'henif b'nei Yisrael manifin v'emin Yisrael manifo. Sim drasha. So by tenufa, by waving, it says b'nei Yisrael tafka, men do tenufa, women don't do tenufa. Beautiful. Hagashos, bringing close to them is beach. Tichsev zos toras hamincha hakrev osa b'nei Aaron. Pasi says b'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron. Beautiful. Kmisos, Dichsev ve'via el b'nei Aaron, the kamatz. B'nei Aaron, v'lo b'nos Aaron. So we'll say it's the same drasha. In all these psukim, the lashon that's used is the sons of Aaron. We learn from here, dafka, the sons of Aaron, not the daughters of Aaron. Haktaros, so we'll say again, offering up on the mizbeach. So the haktaros means the burning. Hevektiru osa b'nei Aaron, v'lo b'nos Aaron. Right, again, sons of Aaron, not daughters of Aaron. Malikos, Dichsev umalak v'hektir. We'll say the pasuk says he'll do the malika and burn the bird. Iskish malika like haktara. So malika is compared to haktara, to burning. And just as we established before, that a woman, a kohenes, doesn't do the burning, so too she doesn't do the malika. Hakabalos, receiving of blood. Dichsev ekriva b'nei Aaron. Pasuk says b'nei Aaron will go ahead and offer it up. But Amar Mar, Amud Bezer will say v'ekrivo zo kabalas adam. This refers to the receiving of the blood. Okay, vazo, sprinkling of the blood. So which sprinkling are we talking about? So like I said, pretty straightforward drasha, so just b'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron. So we'll say, let's go back to vazo. So this is very interesting. So a woman doesn't do the sprinkling of the blood. So asks the Gemara, hazo'as tehecha. We'll say, which sprinkling are we referring to? Or more appropriately stated, where is the particular sprinkling being done that we're referring to? Idapara. If we're talking about the sprinkling of the ashes, combined with the water of the Parah Aduma, so a woman doesn't do that, but that's a different Elazar Kasubba. So let's remember again, Parah Aduma is unique, because who is Parah Aduma done by? Who is that performed by? The Sgan Kohen Gadol, the assistant Kohen Gadol. So that's a drasha, Elazar Ba'afilu Shakon and Psulim. So it can't be Parah Aduma, because by Parah Aduma, even regular kohanim can't do it. It's only a specific kohen, right? The scan kohen gadol, the kohen gadol who does it. Idifnim. If we're talking about ultimately, again, about say like a sprinkling that's done on the interior of the Beis HaMikdash, either again on the parochas, on the curtain dividing the kodesh from the kodesh hakadoshim, or on the golden altar, I will say. So again, hakohen haMashiach kasuba. So I will say. So that ultimately, only kohen gadol could do that. Only kohen gadol could do that. So what are we talking about? Ella hazah de ben oath. Rather, I will say we must be talking about, again, the sprinkling of the blood of a bird offering. Sprinkling of the blood of a bird offering. Hazah de ben oath. So the Gemara says, da'asya b'kavachomer mi ben tzom. Because ultimately, again, the sprinkling of the blood of a bird offering is learned out from the sprinkling of what we call a ben tzom. I will say, take a look at Rashi just a moment. Hazah is dam oath. Tichsid b'chatas oath. V'hizamidam. So let's listen to this. The sprinkling of the blood of a bird, which ultimately is learned out from the sprinkling of a regular ola, an animal ola.
So the Gemara says, Ma ben son shelo kavala koin l'shechita so kavala koin l'aza also. So by a regular ola, where you don't need a koin to do shechita, remember again, a regular carbon could be shechted by a zar. So a regular koin doesn't need to do shechita by an ola, yet kavala koin l'aza also does require a koin for the sprinkling. Ben ov, shekavala koin l'nikaso, eno din shik balo l'aza also. So we'll say a bird offering, which does require a koin. Right, they will say Malika, Dafka requires a Kohen. So if the bird offering requires a Kohen, ultimately, again, for Shechita, certainly requires a Kohen for what? For Zrika. Okay, that's the Drasha. Chosi Minchas Sotu Nazira. So I'll say, so remember again, so now we're just going through the list of that a woman is not permitted to do any of these sacrificial rites. Again, the interesting Havamina is, one would have thought that if she's a Kohenes, she could, because she's in the Kohanic family. Kamash Malon, a lot of these things are dashed from B'nai Aaron for Lo B'nos Aaron. Two exceptions, where a woman is actively involved in the waving of a carbon. What are the two exceptions? The Mincha of a Sota and the Mincha of a Nezira. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshia Didare. So what's Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yoshia of his generation? Lo Tesiv Akarach, do not sit down, until you explain to me the following teaching. Minayin leminchas sota shatuna tufa. From where do you know that a mincha of a sota requires waving? Where do I know that from? Minalon bigufotiksim. Pasuk says it, right? Vehinif es mincha. As the pasuk says, you have to wave the mincha. Ela tufa bebaile minayin. How do I know that the mincha of a sota is waved by the woman herself? Right? By the sota herself. So the Gemara says, Asya yad yad mishlamim. So the Gemara says, "Ksiv hacha v'lakacha koin miyada isha." Pasuk says where the coin will take the mincha from the hand of the woman. Uksiv hasam yadav tiri ena makan koin aflalan koin. Just like over here, it's a coin. So Rabbi say ultimately again by stam tenufa it's also a coin, or by just like over there it's a coin. So too by sota it's a coin. Malahalan b'baylim. Just like over there it's with the owners. The owners do the tenufa. Afkan Bailim, so too over here, the owner does tenufa as well. And I will say, the problem is, then the pasuk is contradictory. On one hand, you're saying the Kohen does the waving, and then on the other hand, you're saying the owner does the waving. So who is it? Haketzad, here we go. Haketzad, Kohen machnis yado tachas yad Bailim umeinif. So Rabbi says, interesting halacha. Any situation where there's going to be an obligation of tenufa, so based on the pesukim, we'll say tenufa always requires involvement of the kohen, involvement of the owner. How can you have two people waving the same exact carbon? So we'll say ultimately again, the owner holds the mincha, and the kohen places his hands underneath the owner's hands. So interesting enough, remember again when we did Sota, there was a whole discussion about what does it mean? The Kohen is placing his hands underneath the Sota's hands. So we had a whole discussion over there that again, it could very well be that essentially they're both holding the Mincha just from different places, but it's called the Kohen placing his hands, so to speak, underneath the owner's hands. Ashkechan Sota. I know now that this applies to Sota. Nezira Mina. And how do I know that it applies to Nezira as well? Asya kaf misota, gzera shava of kaf from sota. So if Rabbi say, what we've successfully done is shown that aloha lemaisa, a woman, a kohenes, is not permitted to do smicha, tenufa, hagasha, kmitza, haktara, malika, kabbalah, and hazaa. The one sacrificial rite that a woman is involved in, but this has nothing to do with being a kohenes. The one sacrificial rite she's involved in is tenufa, is waving. That if either a woman is a sota, bringing the mincha of a sota, or a nazira, bringing ultimately the mincha of a nazira, she will do tenu for the waiting process together with the koin. Abosai, shkoyach. Okay, everyone, have a great day, everyone.